100 days on the place, yeah, man. It's a kick it, you know. That's right.
Yeah, me rolling and rock it to the beat, and me love the sound.
Oh, Chess, you can mess with the sound. Better grab your girl, your posse, and gather round.
Yeah, me rolling and bobbing and going like a mad man. Oh, the man got the sweet day off and 19 no long, so me say, oh, try it.
Sister Beck. And thank you for tuning in to Digital Sister Podcast. I'm really excited because the number of subscribers is going up, the number of people that are downloading my podcast is increasing, and that's really letting me know that I'm touching on some good nerves and finding interesting things to talk about, and interesting enough for you, my listeners, to actually want to tune into and download. So I really thank you for that. I really appreciate it. I got to talk about something funny first. Years ago, I used to get really tickled because I work with seniors, teaching them exercise and things like that. But I used to get very amused how at lunch or just in any kind of community gathering, there'd always be a few seniors who were carrying around, you know, an obituary from some friend's funeral that they attended. And I thought that was so weird at first, that they're actually carrying this obituary around, and then they pass it around at lunch, and everybody looks at it and reads it just like it was the latest new novel or some hot magazine. So anyway, fast forward a couple of years to today, and what am I doing? I'm collecting obituaries. Now, my two previous podcasts, I did one on Rosa Parks and talked a little bit about recently departed Coretta Scott King. I was given Rosa Parks' obituary by a friend, and I'm saving it because it's a collector's item. And I, like many other people, downloaded Coretta Scott King's obituary, which happened to be 28 pages long. It was beautiful. It's like a book. But I know when I go, you know, it's not going to be 28 pages. It's probably going to be like, you know, a page if I'm lucky. But in any event, I'm turning into the seniors by collecting obituaries. And I'm just curious, is anybody out there at that stage in life doing the same thing? You know, you talked about it years ago, but here you are now doing the same thing. Anyway, life is funny. Two more things I wanted to talk about today, which really I think everybody's weighing in on, and to some degree I think they're missing some of the points. Talking about the recent cartoon that was published in the Danish newspaper, which presented the Prophet Muhammad in a cartoon which had a bomb coming out of his head. And that has sparked outrage and all kinds of riots around the world. And all directed at Danish embassies in various countries. I mean, Pakistan, just all over the place, Beirut, just explosions of anger by, I would have to say, some radical Muslims to that effect. It's very interesting because what we see now and what a lot of the European countries are dealing with, and we also saw that a few months ago with what was going on in Paris, how Paris was burning. Because the minority Turkish Muslim community, very dissatisfied and feeling that they were being treated racistly and not being really brought into the mainstream European French society. And so what we have today is with that cartoon being published in Denmark and then published in other European newspapers around the European Union was quite surprising. And I think what a lot of the European countries are really finding out now is that, interestingly enough, they are experiencing a lot of the racial unrest that the United States experienced, you know, in the 60s and the 50s and 40s, and which has come to our minds again, with the passing of Coretta Scott King and the work she did to end the segregation and the problems that went along with it. But the European countries now are experiencing their own type of civil unrest. In the U.S., it was black against white. But what the European countries now are faced with is brown against white. Many of the countries were, you know, colonists, and many of the people that have come to live in the majority country are realizing that they haven't been fully incorporated into society. They're kind of out on the fringe. And what you're finding is frustration. And what you're finding with the European countries is they're now becoming a bit more xenophobic. Many of them are changing immigration laws. And let's look at what happened, much like the United States, when the economies were booming and industries fine and we weren't as much of a global economy. It was okay for the former people that lived in former colonies to come to their mother country, so to speak, and to do a lot of the jobs that the majority Europeans probably did not want to do, you see. And so they were there, but not really fully integrated into society. And now what you see is the younger generation who's very angry, very upset, and they're really setting many of the European countries on edge and on fire for that main reason. And so many of the countries now are wrestling with racial unrest, but it's not racial unrest much like we think about it in the United States. So when this cartoon comes out in Denmark and other European countries pick it up and publish it, they weren't expecting the kind of reaction that they saw with, you know, burning down the consulates, going after Danish embassies in various Islamic countries across the sea there. And so how do you feel about that? I have kind of a mixed feeling, because on one hand, we see the climate, and we see that it doesn't take much to set off some radical factions within the Islamic community. So on one hand, we see it doesn't take much. On the other hand, I wonder, with the Danish paper, was there a little tinge of racism there in terms of, we're going to do free speech, as they call it, but yet you don't take into consideration that to the Muslims, the Prophet Muhammad is sacred. And to kind of play around with that image really stirs up some things. However, I don't think in the European majority mind they thought that that was going to happen. But we're living in different times now, and we're seeing that some factions of the Islamic community don't mind blowing themselves up, don't mind rioting, don't mind doing all of the negative things that we see in the paper. They just don't mind. And unfortunately, I think we have to walk a balance now and look at what perhaps the West or majority European countries think is just free speech or maybe all fun. We've got to look at the fact that maybe it's not that way in certain communities. And I think as the tinderbox with the violence and the perceptions of Islam and the fact that many nations are afraid and they're also rebelling against their Islamic communities in their own countries, I think it's going to be a challenge and we're going to have to walk a fine line. Yes, we do believe in free speech and we like that, but on the other hand, we see that times are a little different now. And when you start treading on symbols for images of religions that are sacred, I think now we're going to understand that there may be some repercussions. So on one hand, I could see the free speech issue. On the other hand, I see that perhaps the Danish and perhaps some of the other European papers got a little arrogant and forgot that, yes, even though they thought it was no big deal, that many in the Muslim community thought it was a very big deal. And I suspect, as we see the pictures of Danish people working in consulates, running out of the burning buildings and getting their things, and it's snowballing. The Winter Olympics are coming up in Torino, and we see that possibly some of the Danish teams will not do exhibitions in Israel for fear of retaliation. So it's really snowballing into something that I don't think the publisher of the Danish cartoon expected. It's one of those unintended consequences, but one of those unintended consequences that we have to become far more aware of today, because the mood of the world is very tenuous. the rise of Islamic revolt is growing. The rise of animosity against the West and some European countries is growing by some of the Muslim countries. So I think we're going to have to start looking at that and perhaps not be as arrogant and kind of watch what we do or maybe explain a little better. But what we're seeing is some reaction, and unfortunately it's spilling over and taking on a life of its own and jeopardizing things in the Olympics where politics, you know, really should not come into play. It's just a matter of countries competing against each other in sport. So in any event, I just thought it was a very interesting thing, and I thought, now the Europeans are having to deal with what with African Americans had to deal with in the United States. So it's kind of interesting to see how the racial issue plays around the world versus how it plays here in the United States. Another thing I wanted to talk about was the whole thing about the writer James Frey, who was able to pull the wool over everybody with this memoir that apparently was not very true. And a small website called The Smoking Gun was the one, in fact, that really pointed out that he was, you know, lying, basically. And I think that's a sad state of affairs because it's kind of rocking the publishing world one more time. Maybe a year or two ago, we had that whole issue with the New York Times and the Jason Blair story where he fabricated a lot of things. So the fabrication is happening at high levels, and it's happening far too often. And it kind of makes you wonder, are people that desperate and eager that they have to do this to try and sell their books? Erica Jung wrote an interesting piece in the Forum in USA Today, Tuesday, February 7th, and she talks about that. And one of the interesting things she talks about is when we have politicians in office who are really hell-bent on doing what they want to do, they know exactly how to spin information and kind of massage it and hide it, because they know that for the most part, most Americans who are not in that top, you know, 5 or 1% making $150,000 on up are struggling. They're struggling with health care. They're struggling with wages that are not going up, struggling with rising, losing your pensions, losing your jobs. So people are in the middle class and thus are really struggling. And they're really maybe not paying as close attention as they should. So it becomes easier for those in power to slip things by us. And I think it's a sad commentary that books are kind of the last place where if it's stated as fiction, it's fiction, or if it's a memoir, it's a memoir, or if it's a fact, it's fact. But unfortunately today, what we're seeing is a lack of character, a lack of integrity, almost a desire to sell a book at any cost. It doesn't matter if it's true or not, just as long as you get on some talk show to talk about it. That's a sad state of affairs, because publishing is really the last final word where you can get some truth, as Erica Jung said in her article. So I think, again, we're all going to have to kind of wake up and kind of question before we go out and support some things that, you know, we probably know are not true. And then that would prevent a backlash, and it would prevent someone like Oprah having to kind of salvage her reputation to some degree for coming out in support of the book and saying it didn't matter. It did matter, because she had the guy on his show and chastised him and took him through the ropes for basically lying to her and lying to the American public. So we've got to get some more character back into the publishing world and get back to finding good stories that people will find interesting, and get back to just publishing good books and not going for the soundbite, not going for the quick sale with the most outrageous story, but to really just give the public good books, good stories, and that ultimately probably will become good films. But anyway, let me know what you think about this. I just find those two topics pretty interesting, and it is a big reflection on how society has changed. But, you know, give me your thoughts. Give me a call at 206 206- 309-7325. Again, I'd like to thank you for tuning in to Digital Sister. I appreciate you subscribing. I appreciate you downloading. And I'm going to always do my best to find interesting things to talk about and share my opinion with. So thanks again for tuning in, and I'll be back to you in a couple of days. Take care.
Who just you can't mess with this?